Last February, I took a six-week sabbatical from my ministry. God did a lot through that time of rest. Over the next few weeks, I'll be sharing some of those reflections with you. Stay with us. Hey guys, welcome to this week's Grace and Truth. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. Hope you guys are doing well. This week, we are starting a four-part series where I will be sharing some reflections that I took down while I was on sabbatical just this past February. Today, we will be sharing part one of the Facebook Live broadcast, Sabbatical Reflections. It was originally broadcasted on March 4th, 2019. Let's take a listen. Okay, so a few reasons why I took the sabbatical was because A, I was getting a little worn out, and number two, it was a perfect time for God to really just give me some time away from this, along with my Twitter page, my Instagram page, and even my local church family in Pleasanton. Another reason why I took the sabbatical was because I thought that God was going to call me to lead a new comm group with my church. Unfortunately, my group and I had a bit of a disagreement on how to hold each other accountable, and that actually had an effect on me trying to lead a comm group. So the church denied my request to start a comm group. Now, please don't get me wrong. I still love my brothers and sisters at my group, and we are still friends, so I have nothing against them. I don't believe that you can just sever ties with people all because of a minor disagreement. So I'm still friends with them. We are still in touch. They're still going to invite me to as many events as possible, and I want to let you know that everything is okay. We're still involved, and I still love them. That's one of the reasons why I, of course, my vlog still has all of the vlogs on there and not a single one has been taken down. Okay. Another reason why I took this sabbatical was to really reflect on the wonderful things that God has done these past 2 years with a lot of restored friendships, new friendships flourishing, and it also gave me an opportunity to really be reminded of who I was then and who I am now. I'll explain an example of that later in the program. It also was a great time for me to prepare for a new season of ministry, and I'll explain what that is momentarily. And it's mainly involving my local church family. Now, before I start, I do want to point out that my membership at VCC is still intact. I have no intention of leaving. Because while I do love the teachings at some other churches, I do believe in being a part of a local church. And the young adults group that I go to, the messages are great, don't get me wrong. But it's an outreach church, and I need something that has a little bit more meat and potatoes. So I'm staying local, and I'm staying where I am. I'll explain what I'm going to do for small groups later on. But first, the sabbatical reflections. During my sabbatical, I also had some hidden reality checks as well. As you know, I absolutely don't like it when people discourage me from desiring to be married, and they've also tried to encourage me to consider singleness. They have not been successful in convincing me, and by the grace of God he provided, again, I'll share that later in the program. One of the things I learned during my sabbatical is this. If someone wants to stay single, you should let them stay single. Don't pressure them to get married. I'd mentioned in a previous live broadcast that there's three rules when it comes to reaching out to someone who has Asperger's, who's not happily single. And basically the emphasis was not to discourage someone from desiring it. Well, what I forgot to add, and I think this is very important, you have to flip it around as well. If you encounter somebody who desires to stay single, you shouldn't pressure them to get married. You see, it works both ways. So this is what I wrote down. If they want to stay single, let them stay single. Don't pressure them to get married. If they want to get married, let them get married. Don't pressure them to stay single. Okay, so another thing that I learned during my sabbatical is the importance of vulnerability and safety, and to really put others before yourself. One of the things I learned during my sabbatical as well, relating to this, is there was a girl who came to our young adults group, and she was fairly new, and she'd never been connected, and she had just started going to Three Crosses. I actually felt, and even though she had great experience with autism and that she had that she was very, very attractive, I realized that I needed to be friends with her. So she then asked, "Hey, can is there someone I can pray with?" All of a sudden, I had this tug from the Holy Spirit to get her connected with another sister in Christ to pray for her. It was during that time that I asked one of my good friends, Kelly, to pray for her. And little did I know that God was laying on my heart a reality check. He's been giving me some hidden reality checks throughout this sabbatical. And this one of those reality checks, which I'm going to share right now, is the fact that a couple years back, I thought that one of my that someone at my previous young adults group was basically didn't show me what a friend was, but who an acquaintance is. Well, it was much more than that, and there was more details that I didn't even know about. That's one of the reasons why I took down the video, The Aspie's Guide to Biblical Conflict Resolution, because it turns out there was two sides to the story on the third woman mentioned in that program. So because of the fact that I realized that that she had an add a side to the story, I realized that I needed to recant for saying that. So by the grace of God, I did. And we and our friendship has been restored. Praise the Lord. It turns out I thought that she wasn't treating me like a friend when she said she only wanted to spend time with girls. But it turns out it was more an emphasis on prayer when it comes to that. And now I realize that the only person who was being a mere acquaintance and jerky was me. And that really gave me a lot of freedom. And confessing that with her and offering amends, it was wonderful. And I got a lot of support from Soma for doing that. So here's what I wrote down. It's best to have sisters pray for one another and have brothers pray for one another. This is in reference to a safe and vulnerable environment. Okay, here's another thing I jotted down. Just because you have a difference of conviction on a secondary issue doesn't make you or the other person a heretic. We also need to be careful not to call other people heretics when they disagree with us on secondary issues. I have a friend who's a charismatic Calvinist. I don't believe you can combine the two, in my opinion. Those are my convictions, and I don't believe you can combine the two. I realize that I interpret the scriptures as a dispensationalist would. And the moment my friend found out that I was a dispensationalist, he wasn't too thrilled. He tried to say, "Hey, can we meet up? I want to talk about dispensationalism and whatnot, and why I don't think you should be holding to this issue." I declined his offer. So I'm very grateful to be reminded of that. Okay, another thing that I learned was a reminder from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. I jotted that one down on my reflections as well. Actually, it's 4:15, excuse me. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way in him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body," that's verse 16, "joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow So it builds itself up in love. All right. Another thing that I learned during my sabbatical is that the issue of singleness is not an Arminian v. Calvinist v. dispensationalist view. And another thing I learned is this. Just like I said to one of my friends, I myself can be a well-intentioned dragon. Now, that's not what we want, but that's what happens, unfortunately. If you don't know what I mean by a well-intentioned dragon, I would encourage you to read a book that I've been reading lately called Ministering to Problem People in Your Church, How to Minister to Well-Intentioned Dragons. The book was originally titled Well-Intentioned Dragons by Marshall Shelley. Hey guys, we're out of time for today. We'll continue this series next week. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to hear more of these programs, please let me know. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening to this program and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my testimony from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. And if you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my testimony on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the button, click here to watch my testimony. Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!